This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. This is Bookmark on the Bigger Picture. I'm Umar Pagan, I'm PK Pagan. Now, today's episode of 50 Books in 50 Weeks was supposed to be about the Argentinian novelist Julio Cortazar and his masterpiece, Hopscotch. But late last week saw the passing of one of my literary heroes and inspirations, Terry Pratchett, which is why it's only fitting that we talk today about Discworld.
In some ways, Discworld is increasingly difficult to describe. It started out as an antidote to fantasy. I started it in the early 80s when there were far too many copies of Tolkien floating about, and I thought things needed livening up a bit. And so I started off by parodying existing writers, good and bad. And after a few books, I discovered the joy of plot. And without ever really thinking about it, I suddenly embarked on writing, I think, what must be one of the longest fantasy series ever, at least longest fantasy series ever written by one person.
I'd like to think of my younger reading self as someone with impeccably good taste in fantasy fiction. I did, after all, have all the necessary foundations, from those early whiffs in Roald Dahl and Enid Blyton to the higher sophistications of Margaret Weis and Tracy Hickman. Now, I was about 15 years old and just about done with Dragonlance. Robert Jordan seemed to be going nowhere fast, and I needed a bridge between my childhood fantasy heroes and the more adult sensibilities of Guy Gavriel Kay and Michael Moorcock. And so I began scouring the local bookshop for what would be my next reading conquest. This was, of course, long before Google. Heck, this was long before the internet. There was no easy access to reviews and recommendations. There were no clever algorithms that would tell me I would like this just because I like that. Nope, nothing of the sort. Now, I had come to Terry Pratchett by way of Pierce Anthony. His Zant series of novels were the absolute pinnacle of punnery. I was completely enthralled by A Spell for Chameleon, The Source of Magic, and Castle Brugner. Its blend of fantasy and comedy, of adventure and general silliness was something new to my literary sensibilities. I liked it, and I wanted more.
Discworld has changed a lot over the period. Physically, it's a flat world on the back of a giant turtle, but let's get right past that because, you know, this world is basically a lot of rock and water on top of a molten iron core, but we don't refer to it very much during the average novel, and so the turtle doesn't get referred to all that much in Discworld books. The inhabitants of this world are people that we can recognise. How can I put this? It's not a bad idea to think about it like Lord of the Rings, 500 years on, if things had happened as they do here. In other words, the big wars are over, the trolls and the dwarves and the vampires and the werewolves have settled down and they've come into the big cities and people are chasing a dollar. And some of the problems are the problems of civilization.
Now, there is nothing I enjoy more than a good pun. Literary snobs be damned. The pun, the double entendre, the Carrie Witchett and all of its waggish tomfoolery is the crowning achievement of the English language. A finely formulated pun is as clever, it is as beautiful as anything William Shakespeare ever penned. Now, I had come to Terry Pratchett purely by chance, by stupid, dumb luck. The bookstore I had frequented had run out of Pierce Anthony novels, and so I bought the next thing they had. It was by Terry Pratchett, it was called Mort, and that animated Josh Kirby cover was just begging, pick me, pick me.
I've just been watching a load of guys yacht racing on the television. That's just something else. It seems weird to the outsider. Apart from anything else, it's an awfully expensive way of travelling. And you think, it's what people do. People think, you see people paying thousands for golf clubs. It's people finding what they want to do and their enjoyment and where they get their kicks. And they find, largely, reading books is one of those kicks. And God bless them, I say.
Terry Pratchett's Mort took me inside the mind of Death, the Death, the Grim Reaper, in this place called Discworld. It was the fourth in the series and a world was already beginning to develop. Reading Mort, I already felt like I was someplace familiar. The city, the surroundings, the people, it all felt lived in. I was hooked. Heck, I can tell you the exact moment I got hooked, the exact line even. It's this one short piece of dialogue, this one-liner by Death, who, of course, speaks exclusively in caps. And he goes, I don't know about you, but I could murder a curry. I couldn't stop laughing. and I just didn't know why. The sheer simplicity of it, the astuteness of that one single observation, I didn't care. I just loved it. And so I did what any self-respecting reader would do. I withdrew every last bit of money I had, and I bought and I devoured every last bit of Terry Pratchett I could find. It was magic and mayhem and Douglas Adams all rolled into one.
It's a curious thing. On Discworld, I write romances and police procedurals and murder mysteries. But because it's on Discworld, they all become fantasies. It doesn't matter what actually happens in there. And it's become a huge whiteboard on which I can pursue any particular interests I have.
The Great Little Atuin, the four elephants that stand on its back and the bizarre plate of a world that they carry. It's got an eighth colour, the sea falls off, the edge of the world, an endless waterfall. Medieval kingdoms attempt to determine the sex of a great turtle with primitive spaceships. Luggage have feet and mountains lie upside down. It was a massive world and one that kept expanding with every subsequent novel. Which is why I suppose this week's episode is something of a cheat, because I would be remiss to just recommend The Colour of Magic, or The Light Fantastic, or Mort, or Pyramids, or any one of Terry Pratchett's 40 Discworld novels. Yes, I'll concede that some are indeed better than others, but these aren't just another series of fantasy fiction novels.
Well, everyone used to think that fantasy is read by 14-year-old boys called Kevin. This may once have been the case, but now Kevin has grown up, and is professor of comparative astronomy at Oxford University, and has just pressed for me to have an honorary doctorate. I'm making this bit up, but I do have a lot of honorary doctorates, and I can't help thinking it's because Discworld fans have got into positions of some importance. It's fun.
It's fun. It's certainly people I've spoken to seem to indicate to me that you attract quite a sophisticated kind of reader.
They become sophisticated. They might start off as Kevin, but I turn them into Professor Kevin.
You know how with so many of these ongoing stories, with Dragonlance, with Wheel of Time, heaven forbid Game of Thrones, if George R.R. Martin isn't careful, after a while they begin to lose steam, they sound tired, even repetitive. If there's one thing I can say about Discworld, it is that I've enjoyed every last one of them. You see, Terry Pratchett wasn't some wonder boy who got it perfect on the first try. His first book, The Colour of Magic, is brilliant, no doubt, but it is by no means his best. His best was yet to come. Wait for it. You're listening to 50 Books on 50 Weeks on Bookmark. The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, you're listening to Bookmark on the Bigger Picture. I'm Uma Paganampike Pagan, and today on 50 Books in 50 Weeks, we're paying tribute to the great Terry Pratchett and his magnificent Discworld.
The Discworld is a flat world. It's a deliberately ridiculous fantasy world, and I put real people on it, and I dress them as wizards and witches, and they have adventures, but they have all the adventures out of fairy story, but because they are modern people, they think about them differently. I mean, that's about the best way I can think of describing it.
I'm cheating this week. The show is called 50 Books in 50 Weeks, which by definition would imply one a week. However, in honour of the great Terry Pratchett, who passed away last week, I'm simply recommending Discworld. Any Discworld. All Discworld. There are 40 novels, there's a new one out later this year, so you'll be spoilt for choice.
In a distant and second-hand set of dimensions, in an astral plane that was never meant to fly, the curling star mists waver and part. See, Great Atuin, the turtle comes, swimming slowly through the interstellar gulf, hydrogen frost on his ponderous limbs, his huge and ancient shell pocked with meteor craters. Through sea-sized eyes that are crusted with rheum and asteroid dust, he stares fixedly at the destination. In a brain bigger than a city, with geological slowness, he thinks only of the weight.
Do you get upset if people say, are you a bit like Tolkien then, or that kind of writer? Is that fair or not?
He's more dead than I am.
Yeah. What about his characters?
And I'm funnier than him.
You're funnier than him.
Now, this isn't just a recommendation based on nostalgia or my overwhelming grief over the death of one of my favourite authors. Not at all. This is an entirely objective recommendation. Literature, at its best, should entertain and enlighten. It should leave us inspired and in awe. It should make us wonder at the sheer power and magnificence of language. It should help us better understand the world around us. Terry Pratchett, Discworld, did all of those things, but it did so over time, over the course of 32 years and 40 books. Because what you're doing when you pick up a Discworld novel is buying into a world. Into a world of fantasy, murder mystery, thriller, science fiction, all of it mixed in with a healthy dose of satire on the human condition, with a deep sense of discontent over who we are and the incredibly stupid things that we do.
Most of the weight is, of course, accounted for by Beryllia, Tubal, Great Tapon, and Jerakeen, the four giant elephants upon whose broad and star-tanned shoulders the disk of the world rests, garlanded by the long waterfall at its vast circumference and domed by the baby blue vault of heaven. Astropsychology has been, as yet, unable to establish what they think about.
Why did you start writing?
It seemed to be better than having to work for a living. You know, I've been doing other jobs, and I just did it as a hobby because it was fun, and people started to buy the books, and one thing led to another.
But you worked for the Central Electricity Generating mm-hmm. Board, but you didn't leave there till the mid-80s. I mean, you were a successful writer, presumably, by the time you left, were you?
I knew that I was going to have a good living from writing by the time I left. I'm a cautious person, you know. I wasn't going to starve in a garret somewhere. I worked for the CGB. My job was basically to say, what radiation? There wasn't any radiation. Well, maybe there's a little bit of radiation, but you couldn't even see. It was that small.
Oh, you were that way rather than me. Far too much radiation. You weren't that kind.
Oh, we never said that sort of thing.
He never sucked the air over.
His first book, The Colour of Magic, is by no means the best book. Not by itself, anyway. But when considered as part of a whole, that collection of comic set pieces does incredibly good work in driving the creative force that would give us such masterpieces as Mort, Pyramid, Small Gods, Night Watch, and Masquerade. The Colour of Magic glows with the promise of what is to come.
The Great Turtle was a mere hypothesis until the day the small and secretive kingdom of Krull, whose rimmost mountains project out over the rimfall, built a gantry and pulley arrangement at the tip of the most precipitous crag and lowered several observers over the edge in a quartz-windowed brass vessel to peer through the mist veils. The early astrozoologists, hauled back from their long dangle by enormous teams of slaves, were able to bring back much information about the shape and nature of Atuin and the elephants. But this did not resolve fundamental questions about the nature and purpose of the universe. For example, what was Atuin's actual sex? This vital question, said the astrozoologists with mounting authority, would not be answered until a larger and more powerful gantry was constructed for a deep space vessel. In the meantime, they could only speculate about the revealed cosmos.
I was walking around some big London bookshops this week to get copies of some of your books I hadn't got. And I looked in fiction, nothing at all. And then I looked in children, I found some. And then I found this big section called Science Fiction and Fantasy, where all your books were. Mm. Are you happy with that categorisation?
You did find the books.
Yeah.
And they were all there. Then I think, obviously, something worked. I don't object. I think I know where you're coming from on this. There was a point a few years ago when my agent was in London and he needed a copy of one of my books to take to someone he was visiting, and he went into a well-known bookshop, and the book in question had been at number one for 3 weeks, and he looked in the bestseller list shelf and it wasn't there. So he said to a member of the staff, where could he find it? And he said, and they said, oh, it's in the science fiction department. And he said, but you have a murder mystery up there, you know, you have a horror book up there, you have all kinds of genre in the bestseller list. Why not Terry Pratchett's book? And the response was, we don't let them out of the science fiction department. And it makes me laugh now. But I think I'm a fantasy writer. I am a fantasy writer. If what I write isn't what you think fantasy is, then I suggest you just extend the definition a little bit.
Which brings me to the funny. There are funny writers and then there are funny writers. Comedy on the page is so much harder than comedy for the stage or screen. To make you laugh out loud while it's just you and a paperback and the chasms of your own mind is a tall order. And Pratchett... Well, Pratchett, he's just transcendent because he makes you laugh, he makes you think, he makes you remember. He pulls you in with his narrative urgency and adds to it a rollicking wit that keeps you coming back for more.
There was, for example, the theory that Atuin had come from nowhere and would continue at a uniform crawl or steady gait into nowhere for all time. This theory was popular amongst academics. An alternative, favoured by those of a religious persuasion, was that Atuin was crawling from the birthplace to the time of mating, as were all the stars in the sky, which were obviously also carried by giant turtles. When they arrived, they would briefly and passionately mate for the first and only time. And from that fiery union, new turtles would be born to carry a new pattern of worlds. This was known as the Big Bang hypothesis. Thus it was that a young cosmocolonian of the steady gait faction, testing a new telescope with which he hoped to make a measurement of the precise albedo of Great Atuin's right eye, was on this eventful evening the first outsider to see the smoke rise hubward from the burning of the oldest city in the world. Later that night, he became so engrossed in his studies, he completely forgot about it. Nevertheless, he was the first. There were others.
Allusions to literature and pop culture, wit that comes at you a mile a minute, a menagerie of some of the best characters you'll ever encounter in this world. That's just endless. Pratchett was a master world builder. What Tolkien forced and Lucas stumbled upon, Pratchett built with blood, sweat, and tears. And let me tell you, there is nothing quite as pleasurable as getting lost in Discworld. But most of all, here was a literature that displayed nothing less than a sheer mastery of the English language. And that alone is what makes Discworld great. That is why Terry Pratchett was the very best at what he did. The very best. So to Terry Pratchett, I have only this to say in your own words, in the immortal words of death, being dead is not compulsory, not if you don't want to. Rest in peace, Sir Terry. You will be missed.
I think a wise man thinks of death as a friend. If that death comes later rather than on the first day.
This has been 50 Books in 50 Weeks on Bookmark. The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.